More than 2 meters away from the front row of the church, so I'm going to do that so you can hear me and so I can see. My glasses aren't fogged up. So welcome to everybody on this lovely sunny morning. It's the 12th Sunday after Trinity, and our theme is Follow the Leader. So a prayer as we approach God. Thank you, Lord, that you do not call us to anything without also giving us the resources to come. You do not ask us to go anywhere you haven't been. You call us to take up our cross, and we come to you with fear and trembling, but knowing that ultimately your way is the best. Be with us, Lord, and help us to understand.
Amen.
Today you'll notice that our hymns have a nautical theme or a sea theme to them. Today we have planned to have in the community a blessing of the boats down at the pier, and then of course regulations changed and we have to cancel that, but I thought we would still carry with the theme today and pray in that way as well. We have Mass, but we've still, the best guidance still says we cannot sing with Mass. So we're going to hum our first hymn as we sit. Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us, o'er the world tempest to sea.
Thank you.
shortcomings before our loving God. Lord, I acknowledge before you that I can be like Peter, hearing your word, but going off on my own track, not wanting to see your path, especially if it looks rough. Forgive me, Lord, and set me on your path. Lord, I acknowledge before you that there are times when I want the world, but don't give much thought to my soul. Forgive me, Lord, and help me to take up my cross. Lord, I acknowledge before you that there are times when I'm a stumbling block to others and to myself. Times when I look for complications instead of just following you. Forgive me, Lord, and help me to follow you. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And we listen to our first reading.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses, and he said, Here I am. Then he came, Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of the father of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. And I've come down to deliver them from the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, If I come to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The second reading is a reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the word of the Lord.
May my words be in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If any want to be my followers, let them deny themselves, take their cross, and follow me. I guess the first thing that needs to be said is that this is a very difficult teaching of Jesus, and we shouldn't fool ourselves. It's better to confess this at the beginning than to pretend otherwise and lose our way in the end. The honesty with which we hold our lives before God is the measure of our desire to be followers of Jesus and not merely religious spectators. And perhaps the second thing that needs to be said is that it's the end of our lives that Jesus is concerned about in his teaching, this teaching. The end not as the last moment of our lives, but the goal of our lives. I was looking at the Catechism. I'm sure many of you during for confirmation learnt of the Catechism and the questions and the answers. And I was looking at the old Westminster Catechism, and one of the questions in it jumped out at me, and it said, what is the chief end of man? What is being asked in this? I think it wants us to consider, what is the primary purpose of our human life? Of human life. And the answer to the question in the Catechism is this: the chief end of humanity is to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. So I guess that asks us to pose the question to ourselves, what is our primary purpose in life? And how will we arrange everything around that purpose? At this point in time, Jesus had come to the moment when he needed to be as clear as possible with his disciples about the way of life that was before them. Dietrich Bonhoeffer famously called this the cost of discipleship, and he cautioned that it wasn't cheap. I don't know if you ever played the game Follow the Leader. The rules are simple. The leader goes wherever he or she chooses, and the others follow, or else they quit the game. The followers don't tell the leader where to go, for that is the leader's choice alone. But you might have with your friends marched after the leader into the woods or down an unknown path or lane. The leader leads and the choice is always there. Every follower continually decides how far they will go with whoever the leader is. In some ways, as Christians, we are playing follow the leader, only it's the game of life, and it doesn't end except in death, unless we walk away or refuse to play. Jesus is continually saying, follow me, and I will lead you in the way that leads to life. Along with this, we will lose what the world tells us is more important, most important. And in the end, we discover real life. And that's the most important thing. So we play this game all of our lives in one way or another, whether we acknowledge it or not. It's a game of trust and a game of choice. For the followers of Jesus, the choice is always before us. But how far will we follow when the path leads along a way that we don't yet understand? How much do we trust in the one that we say we follow? Peter could not understand that his leader would choose to go the way of suffering, and he resisted very strongly. His trust was tested by the way of the cross that Jesus was setting before him. In the children's game, the leader realizes that if your followers don't trust you, the game will end very quickly. The followers will walk away. And Jesus experienced that, and the same is true of our own lives. And our lives are never truly over until our baptism is made complete in death. And the real question becomes, who am I following? What path am I on? Do I have faith in the one in whose way I am walking? It may seem a little irreverent to call this a game, because games can be fun, but they can also be silly. But even though this game is not silly, and it is not always fun, it will bring us to the deepest discovery, the deepest joy of all, in discovering God's purpose. And so we are back with the opening confession. This is a difficult teaching. We find it strange to walk in the way of Christ. It leads us from self-preservation to the cross, where our lives are given away for the sake of others. This isn't a path that we would ordinarily follow. We like to take the path that protects us. Jesus followed a way that led to vulnerability. Yet he promised that as we develop the capacity to trust him and becoming vulnerable, he promised that we will develop the capacity to trust him. Becoming vulnerable, we will find our heart's desire, life abundant. Here we might summon our hearts to the words of the hymn we sometimes sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. So now we come to the point where we meet the true meaning of the cross. When we might desperately want the game to be over, can I get my life back to normal, where I'm in control, where I get to be the leader? Our normal way is to hold on to things that we want, while Jesus, our leader, is on a path that requires giving up what we want for the sake of God's wants for our lives. discovering what God desires and orienting our lives in that direction, in that way, is the way of the cross. It will likely mean personal sacrifice, inconvenience and vulnerability. Søren Kierkegaard, Danish philosopher, once said that there are more admirers of Christ than followers of Jesus. We can admire Jesus Christ easily. We can go to church and do all the church activities. We can come to worship. We can go home satisfied, only to return to life as it always has been, with nothing changed, still just admiring Christ. The choice is whether we will seek to be disciples, being changed by faith decisions, or be content just to be an admirer. If it all seems very confusing and too demanding, you are in good company. The disciples thought the very same thing, especially Peter. But I don't think Jesus intended it to be so difficult for us to understand. I think he wanted his followers to know something rather simple. This, that he was going to die so that others may live. And that's the meaning of the cross. A good leader tells the truth, and Jesus told his followers to watch out, because you can gain the whole world and yet lose your soul. It's a kind word of caution that we often need to hear too, because we are surrounded by messages that say otherwise. For the followers of Jesus, the way leads to a cross. He told us that honestly, but he also told us that if we learn to walk in his way, we find life abundant. We cannot follow his way in our own strength either. We need to be infilled by the Holy Spirit, Christ's presence on the earth today. And it's by following that we learn to follow. We learn to walk by walking. We become courageous by being vulnerable. And we find life by letting go of life only to find God. God's life given back to us. It's a strange and wonderful way that Christ sets before us. Blessed be God, day by day. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. The collect for today. O God, almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask. Say through the merits and meditation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We join together in the morning collect prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And as we continue in our prayers, the response to merciful God is, hear our prayer. Lord God, you reproached Peter because he only had human concerns. But Peter just wanted to protect the one he loved. We pray for people the world over who find themselves in difficult situations. The people of Beirut as they pick up their lives. And many others around the world. We pray that they would have someone to care for them and lift them before you. Merciful God, hear our prayer. And we pray for seafarers. Lord God, we depend on you for life itself. We depend on seafarers for many of our daily needs. Watch over them, keep them from danger, befriend them in loneliness, and bring them safely home to those they love. We pray for all seafarers as they fulfill their duties and face the dangers of their calling. Pray for the officers and men and women of the Irish Navy, the Coast Guard, the RNOI, the Fire Service, the River Rescues, fishing vessels, the pilots and all who carry out services of docks and harbours. Grant them your strength and protection and keep them in the hours of special need. For Jesus Christ's sake, merciful God, we pray for the mission to seafarers. Bless the mission to seafarers and all who work for seafarers. We pray for the exciting ministry in the diocese, which will be managed and out in Ringaskiddy at the new port of Cork. We pray for the setup and the volunteers. May their ministry to seafarers express the love of Christ for all people. And we pray for the work of the Seaman's Christian Friend organisation, for Colin Jenkins and those who work with him ministering to those, especially on the commercial fleets here coming into Cork. Lord, through these days and weeks of COVID, many have committed suicide the world over for being stuck in port far away from home. Merciful God, hear our prayer. As we think on the week gone by, lives lost in water, lives saved, we think of the week to come. We especially pray for children and teachers as they have returned to school, others returning to school tomorrow like Temple Greedy. We pray for Patrick Culleton and Sabrina Cook, who will be ordained deacon in St. Finbar's today by Bishop Clark. We pray for Bishop Paul's speedy recovery. Merciful God, hear our prayer. And in these days, may the restrictions we face remind us of the daily threats to human dignity, life and basic safety faced by so many people around the world. May we who are healthy remember people without access to basic health care. May we who are limiting our travel remember those who have no safe place to go. May we who have a social safety net remember our sisters and brothers in the global south whose hardship will only increase. May the fear for our elders' lives move us to love and cherish each person we encounter every day in the face of fear. Let us choose love, peace, and hope. And we take a moment to think of our own cares and needs. Perhaps there is illness or someone we're thinking about, or someone who's bereaved. And we remember those who've gone before us. This week, Joanna Berrien's 7th anniversary, and Janet Nairn's 3rd anniversary today, and others known to ourselves. We bring our prayers together in the words, Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the together and to draw your attention to our Holy Trinity Easter Vestry meeting. And that's like our AGM, and everyone is invited to come along to that meeting, which will be on Tuesday night, the 15th of September, here in the church. So that's an important meeting for those who are interested in all that goes on and hopefully wants to be involved as well. For those who do the Christian Aid Sheep's Head Hike, obviously there's some restrictions because of COVID. Do read the little note below. There are other ways to support, and you can do your own walk closer to home. And I think that's all the announcements. The Lord be with you. Let us bless the Lord. Lord God, you knew what was going to happen to you. You didn't flinch or back away. You calmly told the disciples and us what to expect. As we go out now, remind us constantly to look to you in the good and the tough times. Guide us as we go in your name. Amen. And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.